chubby tabby cat. He loved to eat lasagna. He had these giant eyes. All of the characters had these giant eyes. And this program was shown quite a bit growing up. I haven't seen it as much recently, or maybe I'm kind of missing it because I'm not watching a lot of network TV. But this is a clip where Garfield's owner, John, is visiting his parents at their farm for Christmas. And his brother is also there. And it's a night before Christmas, and they're excited about opening presents. Now, before I show this, I just want to kind of remind everyone, if you're not familiar, these are adult men, okay? Garfield's owner is an adult, and his brother is an adult. These are adult men who are excited about Christmas. Men wearing the full body pajama. But anyway, they were very excited for Christmas. They were really excited to open presents. I love that clip because it reminds me a lot of my childhood. When I was a kid, Christmas wasn't about just the actual day. It was about the anticipation. It was about the excitement before the actual holiday. And, you know, I had a generally happy childhood, so I have a lot of fond memories of celebrating Christmas as a kid. I grew up in a Christian home, so I knew from very early on that Christmas is all about Jesus' birth, that he was the reason for the season, and all that good stuff. But I'll be honest, I was a lot more excited about opening presents that had been sitting under the tree for days, like those guys in the cartoon. I would check and see whose present it is. I see my name tag on there. I would kind of, is it heavy or light, shake it, and, you know, try to read through the wrapping paper. I never could. Not that any of you kids do that, but I was excited about that stuff. I was excited about going to one of my cousins' houses or having all my relatives over at our place. That was one of our family traditions when I was growing up, and those holiday gatherings with my relatives still to this day are some of the happiest memories I have in my life. You know what else I remember? I remember almost every Christmas morning when my sister and I woke up and ran downstairs in our pajamas to tear open the presents. My parents would stop us and tell us to wait. And after waiting for what felt like hours, those same parents would sit us down, open their Bibles, and try to do a family devotional together. My dad would try to lead a Bible study on Christmas morning, basically. And I think the response in my mind when my parents did that was the exact same response every year. And that response was, you got to be kidding me. Are you serious, Dad? You're going to try to do a devotional on Christmas morning while those presents are sitting under? You expect me to pay attention? That's how excited we were. I didn't realize until much later how blessed we were to have parents who do that for us. And, you know, it's been mentioned already a couple times today, but I know that the holidays, and this holiday in particular, it's not always a happy time for everyone. In fact, it can be a very tough time. My dad died exactly 10 days before Christmas, so that holiday season in 1988 was a very tough one for our family. And if you've lost a loved one, or if you know a family member or a friend who is dealing with an illness, or if you've got some prayers that have gone unanswered when you were hoping for maybe a holiday miracle, then, yeah, Christmas can be tough. But in an ideal world where everything is, you know, as it should be, Christmas can be a very happy and very joyful time. And we can spend days or even weeks getting really excited about moments like opening presents and enjoying the holiday with people who are important to you, people who you love. You know, I've preached a few Christmas sermons now, and the message is basically the same every year. I don't know if you've realized that or not. Okay, the Christmas message is the same every year. It's not like something new or different happened between this year and last year that changed the message radically. The message is the same, but I spent some time this past week reading over this very familiar story, and I thought about all the main characters and how each of them must have felt on that very first Christmas morning in first century Palestine. I thought about how Joseph and Mary must have felt as their new baby arrived, how excited they must have felt and maybe amazed or perhaps even overwhelmed by this awesome sense of responsibility. I thought about the shepherds, what they were thinking when they were suddenly interrupted as they were watching their flock, and how it must have felt as they were rushing to Bethlehem to see Jesus with their very own eyes. But there's one character, or characters, actually, that I never really thought about too much, and that is the angels. We see one of them mentioned in verse 9 as he suddenly appears to tell the shepherds the good news about Jesus' birth. And then a bunch more show up right after that. Verse 13 describes them as a great company of the heavenly host. Okay, a great company of heavenly host is basically code in the Bible for more angels, or a ton of angels, really. What were these angels thinking as they made their dramatic appearance here in this story? Okay, how did they feel? Have you ever thought about that? Maybe you're thinking, well, who cares? They're angels. And even if I did care, how am I supposed to know? Well, the Bible actually tells us there are clues that tell us these angels were excited. I think they were bursting with joy as they made this announcement. It wasn't just, I bring you good news of great joy before all the people. It wasn't just, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to all whom his favor rests. They were excited. The end of verse 13 says they were praising God. There's another important clue the Bible provides in another passage. Let me read a few verses from a book called 1 Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, it says, concerning the salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. Now let me try to explain this as quickly as I can. If you look with me again at verse 10, here Peter mentions the prophets. Now, who are these prophets? Well, they're basically the authors of different books in the Old Testament with God's help, men like Moses and King David and Isaiah and Micah and so on. And Peter's telling us here that when these men were writing about the important events and people that were taking place in the Old Testament, they realized at some point they weren't just talking about events like Passover or the Good Shepherd in Psalm 23 or the queen in the book of Esther when she said, if I perish, I perish. Peter's saying these Old Testament authors realized that those people and those events actually pointed to something else, to someone else who was even more important. And they couldn't fully understand what God was going to do from their limited perspective, but as they searched intently, they realized it had something to do with the way that God was going to save his people once and for all. And now, in the very last sentence in verse 12, the key line is, even angels long to look into these things. You know what that's saying there? That's saying even the angels, even this heavenly host who had never sinned, even they didn't fully understand how God was going to save his people. When Peter writes that even angels long to look into these things, the word in the original language carries this sense of stooping down in order to look more closely, to try to figure out what's going on. So from the beginning, these angels waited and they wondered about what God was going to do, about how he was going to save his people, how he was going to rescue our world from sin and death. And then finally, one day, they got their answer. God was going to save our world by sending his one and only Son. And that's why the angel in today's story announces to the shepherds in verse 11, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. That little baby born in Bethlehem would be the Savior. God's very own Son born into our world. The Savior. The Savior would eventually grow up. The Savior would live a perfect life under God's law. The Savior would then be sentenced to death and then dragged outside the city of Jerusalem in order to be crucified on a Roman cross. The Savior would be willing to endure all of that so that all who believe in him can be forgiven and rescued from sin and death. Earlier this week, I came across a meme that another pastor posted on Facebook. It perfectly sums up what I shared about why Jesus' birth mattered to these angels and why it should matter to us. The season of Christmas is an opportunity to celebrate this good news that will cause great joy for all the people. But this good news would eventually cost the Son of God his very own life. This infant boy lying in the wooden manger will one day be nailed to a wooden cross. He would wear the crown. He would shed his blood in order to be our Savior. You know, I have to say, as I've gotten older, my excitement about Christmas has changed a little bit. Now I'm getting excited about things like, man, I got a good deal. That was a good Black Friday deal or a good Cyber Monday deal. It's changed in other ways, too. Before, I used to get really excited about opening presents and seeing what others had given to me. But now, I'm more excited to see my family and my friends. I'm more excited to see how they will react when they open gifts that I've prepared for them. Okay, that anticipation builds, but I can't wait to see their reaction. I can't wait to see what they're going to say. And when you see their faces light up, that feeling is something that you really can't describe. It's so special. And I think that's exactly what the angels were feeling on that first Christmas day. They had waited a long time for that moment, but that moment finally arrived, and they were excited to see God's special gift for our broken world, his one and only Son, the very best that he could give. You know, I know many of us here have a lot of reasons to get excited about Christmas. We're on winter break for the most part. You get some time off from work, get to hang out with your families, the people we love. There's usually some good food in the mix, and yes, presents, but I hope we'll also be excited to open God's gift for us, to take a few moments, even on that Christmas morning, to just pause and reflect and thank God for this incredible gift that he has given to us, this gift that he waited so long to give to us and to our world, this gift that even the angels couldn't wait to see what it would be. I hope we'll take some time to open that gift, to thank him sincerely, and to praise him for his goodness and his love toward us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together in your word this morning, albeit brief. Thank you for this opportunity as a church to celebrate this good news that will cause great joy for all the people. And yet we acknowledge that this good news for us would be costly, life-giving news for that baby born in Bethlehem on that day. We celebrate both the season, but also the reason for Christmas. And Lord, with humility and joy and gratitude and genuine wonder in our hearts, we receive this gift that you have offered to us, your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for this incredible, amazing gift of love. There's nothing better, nothing greater you could give to us. We receive him joyfully. We pray these things in his name. Amen.